Worldly ambition inhibits true learning. Ask me, I know. A young man in a hurry is nearly uneducable. He knows what he wants and where he's headed. When it comes to looking back or entertaining heretical thoughts, he has neither the time nor the inclination. All that counts is that he is going somewhere. Only as ambition wanes does education become a possibility. My own education did not commence until I had reached middle age. I can fix its start date with precision. For me, education began in Berlin on a winter's evening at the Brandenburg Gate, not long after the Berlin Wall had fallen. As an officer in the U.S. Army, I had spent considerable time in Germany. Until that moment, however, my family and I never had occasion to visit this most famous of German cities, still littered with artifacts of a deeply repellent history. At the end of a long day of exploration, we found ourselves in what had, until just months before, been the communist East. It was late, and we were hungry, but I insisted on walking the length of the Unter den Linden, from the River Spree to the gate itself. A cold rain was falling, and the pavement glistened. The buildings lining the avenue, dating from the era of Prussian kings, were dark, dirty, and pitted. Few people were about. It was hardly a night for sightseeing. For as long as I could remember, the Brandenburg Gate had been the preeminent symbol of the age, and Berlin the epicenter of contemporary history. Yet by the time I made it to the once and future German capital, history was already moving on. The Cold War had abruptly ended. A divided city and a divided nation had reunited. For Americans who had known Berlin only from a distance, the city existed primarily as a metaphor. Pick a date: 1933, 1942, 1945, 1948, 1961, 1989. And Berlin becomes an instructive symbol of power, depravity, tragedy, defiance, endurance, or vindication. For those inclined to view the past as a chronicle of parables, the modern history of Berlin offered an abundance of material. The greatest of those parables emerged from the events of 1933 to 1945, an epic tale of evil ascendant, belatedly confronted, then heroically overthrown. A second narrative, woven from events during the intense period immediately following World War II, saw hopes for peace dashed, yielding a bitter antagonism but also great resolve. The ensuing standoff, the long twilight struggle, in John Kennedy's memorable phrase, formed the centerpiece of the third parable, its central theme, stubborn courage in the face of looming peril. Finally came the exhilarating events of 1989, with freedom ultimately prevailing, not only in Berlin but throughout Eastern Europe. What exactly was I looking for at the Brandenburg Gate? Perhaps confirmation that those parables, which I had absorbed and accepted as true, were just that. Whatever I expected, what I actually found was a cluster of shabby-looking young men, not German, hawking badges, medallions, hats, bits of uniforms, and other artifacts of the mighty Red Army. It was all junk, cheaply made and shoddy. For a handful of Deutschmarks, I bought a wristwatch emblazoned with the symbol of the Soviet Armored Corps. Within days, it ceased to work. Huddling among the scarred columns, those peddlers, almost certainly off-duty Russian soldiers awaiting redeployment home, constituted a subversive presence. They were loose ends of a story that was supposed to have ended neatly when the Berlin Wall came down. As we hurried off to find warmth and a meal, this disconcerting encounter stuck with me, and I began to entertain this possibility: that the truths I had accumulated over the previous 20 years as a professional soldier, especially truths about the Cold War and U.S. foreign policy, might not be entirely true. By temperament and upbringing, I had always taken comfort in orthodoxy. In a life spent subject to authority, deference had become a deeply ingrained habit. I found assurance in conventional wisdom. Now I started, however hesitantly, to suspect that orthodoxy might be a sham. I began to appreciate that authentic truth is never simple, and that any version of truth handed down from on high whether by presidents, prime ministers, or archbishops, is inherently suspect. The powerful, I came to see, reveal truth only to the extent that it suits them. Even then, the truths to which they testify come wrapped in a nearly invisible filament of dissembling, deception, and duplicity. The exercise of power necessarily involves manipulation and is antithetical to candor. I came to these obvious points embarrassingly late in life. Nothing is so astonishing in education, the historian Henry Adams once wrote, as the amount of ignorance it accumulates in the form of inert facts. Until that moment, I had too often confused education with accumulating and cataloging facts. In Berlin, at the foot of the Brandenburg Gate, I began to realize that I had been a naif. And so at age 41, I set out in a halting and haphazard fashion to acquire a genuine education. 20 years later, I've made only modest progress. This book provides an accounting of what I have learned thus far.